Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last. You know what I'm talking about? That phrase is trademark, not to use the tradition of Ricky Bobby Ng.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Okay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Pete Holmes. I'm a comedian. I'm with my boy, Will. You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast, because you're smart.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, Radio St. Pete, RadioSt.Pete.com, HMBRadio.com. You can find these things. I am your host, Will Kuntz. Welcome to the Homemade Broadcast. Your host, as always. It's good to talk to you again. How are you? I hope you're well. Did you check out James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite Podcast yet? You certainly should. He joins the HMB Radio Network now. Isn't that exciting? I'm certainly excited about it. His guest was Mike Morris last week. We did a twofer, did the Homemade Broadcast, and then followed up with James Bailey's. James is a little more crude than I am, so he curses a lot, and he dropped the F-bomb last week, which was, we almost got through the whole thing, man. We were right there. And at the last minute, he had to let one go. But that's okay. His program is very entertaining, so check out My Mom's Favorite Podcast. He's got his Facebook page up now, which you can find on Facebook. I don't know exactly what it is, but if you just search for My Mom's Favorite Podcast, you'll be able to find it. Go like that page. You can keep up with what he's doing. I think he's going to be doing a show once a month on here, and that will be found on HMB Radio, the iTunes Stitcher feed. So, yeah. It's not the Homemade Broadcast, but it's part of the network now. This is a good time. It's an exciting time. I keep forgetting I have a voice line as well. If you want to call in and leave a message, and if it doesn't it have any F words in it, I'll play it if you want to do that. And that is 813-693-2124. So leave a message. We'll play it. Questions, concerns. You can insult me if you want, just don't curse. I'll play it, I don't care. No one's going to hate me more than I hate me. So good luck, do your worst. 813-693-2124. If you haven't liked the Facebook page already, do that. Facebook.com/TheHomemadeBroadcast. Follow us on Twitter, us. I keep on saying us like it's more than just me. It's just me. Home_made_man. Same thing with Instagram. Go like Radio St. Pete's page too. Why not? Some of you may be listening there. Facebook.com/RadioSt.Pete. STPETE. You don't have to spell out Saint. We're not proper here. Thanks to everybody who came out to the open mic last week at Sly Bar. We do that every second and fourth Tuesday of the month. It was another great show. Great time had by all. Next one will be 2 weeks from. Oh, geez. I should know these things. It's second and fourth Tuesday of the month. We'll be there. 2061 Central Avenue, that is Sly Bar. And this podcast is brought to you by Sly Bar. Find out why I Love the Berg is named Sly Bar, one of the top 15 businesses to watch in 2015. Great beer, great folks. Joe and Lauren, down there, go have a beer. Tell them to put it on my tab, and then they'll tell you that, no, we don't take tabs from that guy. So good luck. And also brought to you by Angelo's, who provides the pizza for us. Delicious pizza. I finally had a piece a few weeks ago. And it was worth it. It was cold, but it was still delicious. 536 First Avenue North, stpizza.com. Order something from them and enjoy. It certainly will be a good one. So I don't know how you people do it. And when I mean you people, I mean citizens of the world with a television. because I don't know how you in good faith start a television program these days without just being disappointed, because it seems like nothing moves all the way through. They cancel everything before you even really get started. I don't have cable. I haven't had cable in 15 years or so, but I did recently purchase a television about a year ago, and I have the Netflix and I have the Amazon Prime. And I was searching through Amazon Prime the other day, and I started watching this program called Deadwood, which aired on HBO, I think it was 2003 to 2006. And I was talking to my friend about it, and I was like, oh, the show's great. It's awesome. It's like a it takes place like the old frontier west in Deadwood, South Dakota, I think it is, or North Dakota, one of the Dakotas. And it's pretty cool. It's got, you know, like Wild Bill and all these real people, fictionalized, of course, for the show. But it's pretty interesting, and I was having a good time watching it, talking to my friend, and then she drops the bomb on me, which is, you know that show doesn't have an ending, right? No, I did not know that. So now I'm stuck. I'm enjoying myself watching it. I've killed a lot of time over the past few weeks plowing through this program, but I'm just going to wind up disappointed. It just stops. And I have a theory about why do things need endings? But now that I'm experiencing this with Deadwood, I understand why things need endings, because I'm just going to be disappointed in the end. I'm going to need some sort of conclusion, and I'm not going to get it. So that's a bummer, but I'm going to continue to watch anyways, and wish me luck, and I will be depressed probably by next week when I finally plow through three seasons of this television show. But anyways, this week on the Homemade Broadcast, we have local Tampa Bay comedian Alan Canning. And just so happened that Alan got here right on time, so he had to sit through the intro this week. So sorry, Alan, that you had to hear me talk about stupid Deadwood. But welcome to the show, man.
Welcome. Thank you, man. Thank you.
It's nice to see you. You're right on time, 8 p.m. You said to be here, and I got a phone call at 7:59.45.
I think it was the first time I've ever been on time in my life.
I'm honored. See, I'm one of those guys that's on time. I'm usually a little bit early.
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of like a respect thing.
Absolutely. I always – see, I'm one of those people, unfortunately, that, like, I'm part of the problem because, like, I know when I'm supposed to be there, and then I always mean to leave a little bit earlier, and then I'm just always, like, 2 or 3 minutes over the line or, like, 10 minutes over the line. I actually lost one of my first paid gigs because of that. Like, I showed up, like – 10 minutes after the show had started and still thought my spot would be available.
No.
I was sadly mistaken.
No, it doesn't work like that. See, I think 5 minutes is okay. Like, if you're 5 minutes late, that's a little bit understandable. But if you're more than 5 minutes late, it just proves that to me that you don't really care.
Exactly.
And I don't mind when people are late to this because I know people don't really care and usually doing me a favor by coming in and talking to me. But it was a nice, refreshing change of pace. But unfortunately, because of that, you had to sit through
that
intro.
I'm all right with that.
Have you experienced this with the television shows?
I have. There's nothing more that I want than to see the last season of Parks and Recreation, because I don't have cable and all I have is Netflix. And, well, I have somebody else's Netflix account. But, you know, God, I just want to see the last season. And it happens again and again. Like, there's so many garbage shows, too, to, like, try and pump through, and then eventually you'll hit the spot. Even, like, The Walking Dead on there, like, I'll be almost caught up, then run into somebody I know who, you know, still has cable and will feel the need, or has Hulu because they're, you know, fancy about it, will ruin the show for me. But it's always a bummer getting stuck. I got to say, when it comes to out west, like, cool – like, if I could live in a time, this is what I would pick. I mean, I wouldn't make it more than, like, a month. But I think, like, Hell on Wheels. Like,
what's that?
Hell on Wheels is a show about the building of the railroad between the East and the West.
Oh, somebody else was telling me about that the other day. And they're like, it's on TNT. And I was like, what? Like, I can't remember a good show that's ever come on TNT.
You know, it's surprising, man, but it's just, it's good, man. It's brutal. People get shot all the time, and, like, nobody really cares. You know, it's like, did you see him? No. Well, that's all the forensics we've got for that. Like, you know.
I wonder if that really happened. I know that, I saw this video about this guy who was talking about that Drunk History show.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much, everybody was just pretty drunk.
Right.
And in Deadwood, they're constantly drinking whiskey in the morning, and they just start drinking. And then they'll get into fights Right. And then if you see these pictures of these like legendary figures and their eyeball is just wonky and hanging down to one side, that's because they got beat up really bad and detached their cornea. And then they're just like, I just can't see out of this eye now. The doctor can't do anything.
Right. So go about my day.
That was like, pretty common. Yeah, they would start out. But I don't know if like, I guess it probably did with like, I guess in the Old West where people just murder people.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it happened as much as what we think. Because you think it happens all the time.
Right.
When I think of the Wild West, I think of like you walk down the street and then someone just getting murdered every block.
Exactly.
It probably wasn't that bad.
No, it's just – but they have that image. It's just nothing but like prostitutes and dead drunk guy laying in the street. You know?
That's pretty much what Deadwood is. It's about an owner, a brothel, or like a saloon, I guess they call it, where it's like a bar, a gambling spot, and then you have the whores. Yeah, that will sell you – their body for $3 at a bargain at that. Wow. But they all have hairy pits and stuff like that, which is weird.
But you got to think, $3 was a lot back in the day.
It was. I think the equivalent would be like, what, $40-$50 probably?
Something like
Still
that.
Pretty good.
Right. I mean, I know the market on 34 South is like $35 to $40 for a full person. No, I'm just...
Do you know that for a fact?
I'm not admitting to anything.
I see him on 34th Street, and then also we have him even on 4th Street right here. Yeah. I see him walking around. Yeah. There's a lady, African-American lady, black lady, who constantly strolls down the road. Yeah. And she looks sick. She looks like she's about to drop dead.
Drugs, man.
Yeah, that'll do it. That's usually what pushes people to that deviant lifestyle.
Because, like, who otherwise just, like, chooses that? Like, they're like, you know what? I'm good with me. Well, I think if it's legal, then it's like, you know what? I'm good with this.
I talked to a girl, Sarah Greenmore.
Yeah.
And she is a Bunny Ranch
girl. Oh, no way.
And she wrote an article. She did a Reddit AMA. And it kind of blew up, so
yeah.
That's always that lifestyle. Just I guess because it's taboo, has always kind of fascinated me. So I got her. She was nice enough to call in. We did an interview.
That's awesome.
And she said she started, like she was always just kind of like a sexual person, and enjoyed making other people happy. And she seems to really love her job, and she seems to be making really good money.
Nice
at it. So yeah, I guess you know. I don't know if she uses. She might be doing coke all the time. I don't know, but at least she has the money to.
If it works, you know what I mean? Like Hunter Thompson always said, he's like, what was the quote? I'm going to butcher this. But it's like, you know, the use of drugs and you know, a bad attitude, like, has worked great for him. Yeah. You know what I mean? Most people it destroys, but every once in a while you get that diamond in the rough. Like, just the taboo lifestyle seems to work for them. I don't know. I think I'd probably make less money prostituting than I would at doing comedy. You know, which would put me at, like, more negative of dollars.
Unless you went to marketed yourself to men. True. Then you might do okay.
Yeah, but I think for the most part, and this might just be a old stereotype, but I just don't see making a lot of money as a gay escort. You know what I mean?
Probably not. But there are certain – it depends because just like anything else, there are tastes.
True.
You know, and I mean if they like a balding guy with a full beard,
That's right.
You would be in the market.
There it is.
You're a semi-handsome guy.
Thank you.
You're like a solid five and a half, I think.
It's good to know, like, at least I'm right in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it depends on my attitude, how good, like, am I a positive five or a negative five, depending on the day, you know what I mean?
Right, but it also, keep in mind, too, that it doesn't matter, because you're a guy, and the number really doesn't matter. I don't think girls are attracted to looks as much as guys are.
I believe that. I think that women are a lot less shallow in a lot of beautiful ways.
They're not less shallow, but they're shallow in different
True.
Ways.
True, there it is.
They're very shallow. I think they're more attracted to ambition. So if you're doing something and they believe in it and it seems like you're a guy who's doing stuff and maybe has some money in his pocket.
It doesn't hurt. Like, I like nice things. Like, all I'm saying is, like, if Tom Hardy showed up here right now and was like, I'm taking your butt cheeks, but I'll take care of everything, I'd be totally down.
You'd be willing to give that
That's
up?
The one guy. Like, for some reason, Tom Hardy, like, that's the dude. Like, if he showed up and was like, Al, I'm gonna take care of all the bills. You get all the money when I die. I'm just going to, you know.
Just do stuff to you.
Right, yeah. Like, I think that would be the one time, like, I'd be okay with it. And, like, in that respect, I can understand. God, this is going to sound so just terrible, but I'm going to say it. You know, in that respect, I can understand, like, being a gold digger. Like, I could be, like, if you were a woman and you're like, you know what, I got a nice body, and that guy's old enough and rich enough.
He'll be dead soon.
Right. And he's ugly, but he's rich enough that I don't have to care.
I don't really blame them. I feel like, you know, there's biological roles that, you know, some women's, there are some unicorns out there that are CEOs, and they really don't need a guy.
Nope.
But I feel like the most of them still follow that hunter-gatherer type of lifestyle in the modern age. Meaning that dudes go out and, you know, work, and women kind of take care of the household, take care of the kids. That is a very unfavorable opinion now to have, but I still believe that for the most part. But I certainly don't think that women shouldn't be allowed to do these things. Go ahead, do whatever you want.
Right.
But I still feel like, it, especially with girls like that, that's what they're thinking of. Like, they want to be taken care of and secure.
Right.
That's the main thing. They want security in a mate.
Yeah,
and usually that means money, and I guess some people like fame.
Yeah,
but I think more money than anything else.
The security aspect of it is a big thing. Like my brother, like I've always fallen in love for the wrong reasons, right? For love, you know. Like I've always had this idea that like things were gonna work out, like a Kevin Smith movie. But the problem is, most of the time, I forget that like most people end up getting crapped on or date a lesbian in those. But you know, I always had this idea of love. Like, there's been a bunch of situations in my life where, like, I thought this was the person. Where, like, my brother, you know, always falls in love for the right reasons, like social standing, you know, credit score, you know. And for him, it's worked out really well. Like, he falls in love or finds a partner based on, you know, stuff that's going to last comparatively to like me, which is like love. It's like, no, it's going to be.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful in a movie. And even when we fight, it'll be part of the dream. Like, and it's just BS, you know? It's
I feel you. I've been dinged up by some young ladies over the past few years. I was kind of a guy that, I was a girlfriend guy when I was, you know, 18. I had girlfriends from like 18 to about 26. I was with two different people. That's a long time.
Yeah.
And those were really tough. And then now it's been a stretch of the last two. They were only like 6 months long, but I ended up, and I knew better at that point from being, learning through my mid-20s and got caught off guard, man. All of a sudden you love them, and then it's tough. Boom. So now I feel like I'm in a great position, though, because I've been completely, I feel like, milked dry of any sort of, like, the next person that I date is going to be really special.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure of it because I cannot do it anymore.
Otherwise, they've just beaten out the last vestiges of hope.
I'll kill myself.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but I think I really, like, they've been progressively worse, and the last two have just been, like, so sad. You know, I was. Because now it's been, like, a couple years now, so I'm okay. Yeah. But I'm also very okay with being alone.
Right.
So it's going to take a lot for somebody to snag all of this, which I know ladies are just lining up around the block for.
They're just banging down the door.
Oh, my
I had to kill
God.
Three of them on the way in here.
Yeah, thank God, man. Good riddance to them.
It's a challenge. But that is the thing about it, man, is it's like, you know, like the longest relationship I was in was 9 months, you know, but the rest of it's like, I've found that like honesty truly works for the most part the best. Like if I'm talking to a prospective partner, whatever, if it's for the night, if it's for a week, if whatever it is, if it's the situation I'm in right now, you know, honesty and just telling the person where, because I was a buddy for a long time. I don't know if you have experienced
the friend zone
of friend zones.
Absolutely.
But just like,
every guy does, man.
Yeah.
Even the best-looking guy.
Has had that moment. I had my best friend Jake in town. I've known since I was 3 years old. And he was always that dude who made, like, going to the movies at, like, 11 really uncomfortable. Because, like, he always had the chick with him. And I was just, like, bumbly buddy.
Oh,
he was just really excited to get a large popcorn and an extra Coke. Like, this is great. Let's watch the movie. He's three fingers deep in Susie Rottencotch, and like I'm just sitting there trying to deal with the fact that I'm alone at like 11. But hey, it's what it is. Do you still remember the first woman that ever broke your heart?
Sure.
What was her name?
Her name was Jessica Slain.
Jessica Slain.
Yes, she was. Well, wait. Let me think back, because that was like the first girl I actually dated. I was horrendous in high school.
Yeah.
I looked like just a fat lesbian.
Just
I really
a ghoulish
did.
Creature.
My mom, I was really fat, and my mom cut my hair, and she cut hair for a long time, but she cut women's hair.
Right.
So I had a short women's haircut, basically. So I was just looking back. I'll show you a picture.
That's beautiful.
I have pictures.
Yeah, I gotta see that.
It's awful. So I didn't really have. I had, I think, one girlfriend
in
high school for like 2 weeks, but no big deal. Yeah. And I had a crush on my neighbor who lived down the road, who died actually recently, which is weird. Yeah, really weird. That was like one of my first crushes. So maybe I've been, you know, getting rejected, but I guess like really where you're like, would probably be Jessica. Yeah.
Jessica. I got to say it's a toss up between Marcy Flaherty.
Marcy Flaherty. Classic.
Who I've tried to find. I've tried to find you, Marcy, but
what happened with Marcy?
We were in sixth grade, and she was really mean all the time in front of people. And then when we weren't, she was really pretty sweet. Yeah. I tried to get her to go to see Star Wars with me.
Yeah,
I think it was when like episode 2 or 3 came. I was like, "That's gonna be cool." And then she was like, "Nah, I'm never gonna do that.
I'm never gonna see Star Wars with you, Alan.
I'm not gonna. Like, high school was rough for me too. Like, I didn't. I was just kind of a weird kid, but more than that, like, I was just drunk a lot and smelled bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was part of it. Like, I wasn't heroin chic enough to, like...
Why did you smell bad? You just didn't bathe?
I didn't bathe a lot. And, like, I fried... Because I was a dirty person.
You were the
person.
Dirty kid.
I was the dirty kid.
You were the dirty
I
kid
I wore the
school.
Same hoodie for, like, an entire year. And
didn't ever wash it or nothing?
Didn't ever wash it. Like, maybe it got washed if my mom washed it. But for the most part, it was, like, black shirts... Chucks and jeans, and like I smelled bad and yelled at people. Like, my nickname was Crazy Al.
Mm-hmm.
Not because like I was the cool guy at the parties, just because I would walk down the hall and like ramble at people.
They
like,
thought you were a homeless person, they
right?
You were a student,
yeah, like yeah. I might as well have been like alumni who just never left. Like, I was a Hey Arnold character, essentially. Like, you know, I was that heavy guy breathing deep behind Elga. Like, I just ended with me getting punched in the face, but. No. There was a girl named Robin that I was in love with. Sorry, Robin. I'm using your first name, not your last. But she had a problem with pills, and then I was a drunk. And so we just kind of had this weird monogamous friendship where, you know, it was never about sex. It was never about any of that. But, like, I was madly in love with this woman who we were just both so unhealthy. But for some reason in my head, like... We just kind of kept each other up, you know what I mean? I look back on that now, and, like, I was a terrible person to her. And, like, I don't know where she is now, but she was one of the few that, like, really... Like, I wrote sad poems about this girl. Like, I so thought that, like, we were just going to live this dirty, broke, like, true romance lifestyle. And instead, like, I ended up having to get sober, and she just kind of faded into the ether, man.
Yeah.
And,
I think the movies kind of do that to us.
They do.
There's this, I feel like girls are looking for their Prince Charming, which doesn't exist, and we're kind of looking for something similar, Princess Charming.
Right.
It's a little different, but we have expectations based on the media that we consume, because all these movies are romantic comedies, or even funny movies have an aspect, like The Hangover, there's like marriage happening and stuff like that. It's really shoved down our throats, the institution of love and what it is, and you're expected... to be with somebody.
Yeah.
It's really kind of not frowned upon, but I feel like people will kind of look down on you if you're not with somebody. My best friend's getting married now, but I mean, he's at that age now, like 30, you should be probably doing that if you're going to do it. If you want kids and stuff like that, only because, you know, there's a hourglass on ladies' ovaries. So you need to start working by 30. But I also know a lot of people who got married at 18.
Yeah.
And I felt like that it was just for show. They thought they had no life experience whatsoever. They met this person. I love you. I love you. This is awesome. Let's get married.
This is going to work for 40 years.
This is going to be great.
Yeah.
And then 5 years later, I have these girls that I have crushes on that are like, hey, what's up? I'm divorced. I'm your guy. Come on, talk to old Billy boy.
I was talking to a female friend of mine recently, and she just broke up with her fiance, and she is 18. And she's like, no, I've got it figured out. And I'm like, no, you have no idea.
You know nothing.
Like, I'm only 24, and this sounds like a real pretentious thing, but like, what I thought the world was and how I viewed everything in my daily life from the time that I was 19 to now has completely changed.
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely.
And like the idea of thinking that like I have found the person, the one. Because I look back at me when I was 19 and I had a mohawk and was wearing like cut off jean shorts and like.
And you smelled.
And I smelled. And like I thought I was like a punk rocker. And like, no, I was a newly sober, angry guy who didn't like know his position in life or like where I was going or had any ideas. And like, what woman really wants to be with that? Sure, there's the idea of like, oh, he might do something dangerous, but yeah, like that's like me putting in a hole in the wall because I'm angry about something, you know? Like,
yeah,
I look back and I hate the person that I was when I was 18, 19, you mm-hmm. know?
Sure, yeah, I do too.
But, you know,
everybody does.
Yeah.
It's part of the growing up, you know. Your 20s are a good time. I just turned 30. I'll be 31 next month.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel good. And I actually really do feel good. I'm happy to be this age I am now because your 20s are a time where you learn how to be a person.
Right.
You're a kid, and then you're transitioning over into this being an adult phase. And that's what your 20s are all about. That's when you got to go and mess around and do dumb things
right.
and have a good time. And then when you're 30, you understand, you know, okay, now I'm not going to miss anything. I'm ready to continue on with my adult life. And if you're just joining us, I got comedian Alan Canning here. We haven't talked about anything funny yet. We will get to that.
I know. It's been heartache and sad times and but about growth too, you know.
Certainly, yeah.
So what did you do for your 30th birthday?
My 30th birthday was awesome.
Yeah.
I have a really good group of friends, and I'm poor. I don't have any money.
Yeah.
And my friend group, though, are all fairly successful people at their age.
Nice.
So they kind of chipped in, and we went to Chicago.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, it was November, though, so it was a little chilly in Chicago. Right. But walked around, went to the museums, and we had a nice penthouse that we got through Airbnb. It was awesome, man. And then we came back and had another party at my friend Kevin's house. And that was awesome, too. So it was a great birthday. And then this year, I have a feeling nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I want to do anything.
Well, that's the thing about it. Like, for, like, 21, I was super excited. And I wasn't drinking at the time. So it really, like, it was a normal-ass birthday. But then for, like, 23, 22, 24, people are like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I'm going to work. Like, it's not... You know, I'm celebrating 24. What does that mean? I'm another year from not being alive. Like, that's, you know.
Yeah, I do. I know exactly what you mean. And I was always – I'm kind of a birthday guy. I'm more just like I'm half social and half antisocial.
Okay.
Sometimes I don't want to be around anybody.
Yeah.
But if it's an event – like, I love going to parties and hanging out with people and stuff like that. Like, that's a lot of fun. So – it's just a good time. You get an excuse to be like, hey, it's my birthday.
Right.
Come hang out. And then you have all these different friend groups in one place. And I always have a really good time when that happens.
Nice.
But then most of the time, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
So it kind of just depends on how it is. But that's an excuse for me a couple times a year. You know, holidays are like that too. You get to see family and stuff that you don't see at all. Really.
And you're like, sweet, I'll see you next year.
See you next year. Yeah. Our quota's met for the year. We're good to go.
I regret that, though. Sometimes I wish I spent more time with my extended family. You know what I mean? But, like, I don't know. What's your family like? How personal do you want to go with this?
Oh, I'm an open book. I was saying. So my parents are divorced. My dad's been with the same woman for 20 years. My mother has been with her husband for 25 years.
Nice.
They don't speak at all.
No.
So I kind of, I don't have any brothers or sisters or anything either.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll see them every now and then. And then my extended family's kind of weird. I was close with my cousin Susan, and now I haven't talked to her in like 2 years.
Why was that? Do you know?
I don't know.
No?
I really have no idea.
Just started to drift away?
She's crazy.
Okay.
She is a lunatic. I think she cut everybody off and is just going to live her life. And if that's what she needs to do, great. But, you know, it is unfortunate. I think I texted her 6 months ago. And I was like, hey, I miss you. Love you. I love you, too. And that was it. So, whatever. What about you? What's your family like?
Parents are divorced as well. But, like, they waited till my brother was out of high school and I was just going into high school. And that's when we decided to move back to Florida. Like, and that was the thing about it. It was like, they were like, we're getting a divorce. We're like, we know. Dad's been sleeping in the guest bedroom for like 2 years now. Thank God it's about time. You know, it sounds messed up, but they get along pretty well. They actually talk more now that they're divorced than they did when they were married for the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were sweet people. They tried their best, but they were going to stay together for the kids.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I appreciate that, but also I feel like it's not a healthy home environment.
No, if you hate each other or if the love's just not there, then it's like, why are you trying to put on the show?
I'm not an advocate for divorce or anything, but I feel like, why put yourself through this anguish?
Right.
You know, like, you can go see your dad on the weekends. That's what I did. You know, it's not ideal, but I had somebody else did that. I know a lot of people who her dad slept on the couch.
Yeah.
And they just did that for many years. And they weren't in love, and they that's all they knew, and they didn't want to start over.
Right.
But they hated the person they were with, which just is bizarre to me.
It's a weird way to live your life, you know. It's a weird way to hold back. I don't know. We all have those things, I think, though, that, like, the idea of losing something or the idea of changing any mass thing. You know, if you don't ever move, you don't ever have to change anything. And you can just get so used to sitting in that shit that, pardon my language, that, you know, there's no point in leaving. You know, it just seems easier. And it's, I don't know. I hope I can be half the parent my parents were. But, like, when it comes to that, you know, I guess that's one of the things that's kind of, I, for the longest time, wanted to get married, like, and I had the idea of the kids, but, like, it, you know, 24 now, I'm like, I'm really okay with being, like, cool Uncle
Al.
Dude, you
got a long time.
Oh, yeah.
I got a while, too. Keep in mind, too, with men, you can have kids into your 60s. I wouldn't do it, but you can.
Right.
Don't worry about it, man. I know what you mean, because, like, I feel that way sometimes, too.
Right.
But that's only because, like I said, you get it kind of pushed into you. Like, that's what you're supposed to be doing. Right. That's what everybody's doing. What am I doing?
Yeah.
You know? Like, now in this, in the solid group, I have a lot of people that I'm friends with. But, like, the group that I'm really close with, they're all coupled up now.
Yeah.
I'm literally the only guy who's single. I never see him anymore.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer, you know? But, well, that's not entirely true. But not like we used to.
Right. Well, there's not that freedom to it. You know what I mean? When we start putting, you know, our loved ones, when we start putting our loved ones first.
Yeah.
You know, it is that. My best friend, one of my best friends, he just got married, and my dad made the comment, and he was like, I miss Kelsey, man. Mm. Where'd he go? And I was like, he got married, and he's like, ah, yeah.
Yeah, yep. That'll do it.
Yep.
I don't know why it really happens, though, because I know that, I guess, like, when you're going out with your friends, part of it is to maybe meet somebody, I guess. That's what everyone's going through everybody's mind. But I kind of look at it as like, oh, you're going to hang out with your friends.
Right.
I had never, even when I had girlfriends, they were always people who liked to go out, and they would just hang out with me and my friends.
Yeah.
And that was cool. Or I'd go hang out with their friends. Didn't happen very often because girls are, I don't like hanging out with girls. But I got some really good girlfriends. But those are, you know, rare, I think. But yeah, man, I don't know. It's like everybody's, and especially once you get married, forget it.
Yeah.
It's done. And I guess I still don't even understand that. If you have kids, I understand.
Right.
Because that's, you're stuck doing that now. Like, that is your job. You have your job, and then you have to come home, and you got the kids.
Right.
And that's your other job that you have. That's a full-time thing.
And you know, and that's the strangest thing about it. Like, you'd figure when somebody gets married, like, I understand there's the newlywed phase of it. Like, oh, my God, I'm with this person. I love this person. I die for this person. But then you'd think that, like, going out and spending time apart from each other is what would make that strong. Because if you spend that time apart with each other, you figure that when you do see each other, you know, you'd be that much more appreciative. Like, you could come home from the chaos of the world, and, like, there would be this person that you could be okay with. But, like, I would want that in between time. That's the beauty, I think, of comedy, and, like, what has been a benefit and also a hindrance to, like, any relationship I've had recently, which is where, like, I want to go see this person, I want to go spend time with this person, but I also need to be on stage. And, like, I haven't really been able to find somebody who's as understanding of that. Like, no, 7 nights a week, like, I go out and I do a mic or I do a show and, like, do something for comedy, and then there's you. You know, and I guess that's just being selfish and being young and stuff, but...
Well, it is, but also it's part of the job.
Yeah.
And if you look at it like a job and you really take it serious, there's only a few people in the comedy scene that I really see taking it serious and working really hard to get to the next step. Beyond middling at side splitters or headlining side splitters, that's great, but people who are like, I'm going to be out of here eventually at some point. There's only a few guys, really, and girls, doing that. So let's talk about that.
Okay. Because
we haven't talked about comedy at all. And how long have you been in the game?
I can honestly, I'm a baby comparatively to a lot of people. It's been, I'm in my first year. I'm like on 9 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So where did you first I take it you did an open mic first?
I did. My first one that I ever did was like 3 years ago at Sidesplitters, but I don't really even count that one anymore. It was like me. I went up. I made some awkward jokes about my mom. The people awkwardly chuckled, and I left the stage. But the first time at the beginning of this, when I would say like, okay, like I'm going to be a comedian. You know what I mean? Like this is what I'm going to do. I went to Coconuts Comedy Club on St. Pete Beach for their Tuesday night open mic. And I got there and I was nervous and I was excited. And my buddy Kelsey was there. And like, I just went on stage and I didn't have any material and it went great.
Really? You winged the whole thing?
I winged the whole thing and got a bunch of laughs and everything was awesome. And I got off stage and I'm like, cool, I can do this. And I came back the next week and I was up there for about 30 seconds before I said, I think I'm done.
That was your second. This is your second time blanked out.
And I was just like, I'm going to go now. Goodbye. Like, and hung up the microphone and just walked off stage. And Steve Reynolds got on stage and he was the host for the night. And he goes, I think he's done with comedy. I think he
just quit.
He just quit right there.
Did you take some time off?
Or no, I came back to it next week. And, then I started to go to Bula on Thursdays and, Then Sly Bar, and Sly Bar was actually the first place I ever yelled at somebody in a crowd. It holds a special place in my heart. Like, I thought I'd be able to keep it together.
Oh, that was not too long ago. Yeah. What happened?
There was a group of skinheads, and then a lady with her dog at the bar, and she was very important.
Yeah. Oh, this was a couple months ago, right?
Yeah.
I remember this one. She's a frequenter of Sly Bar.
Yeah.
And I think just so happened that night that for some reason she never stays though now.
No.
She's usually there when I get there
and
leaves before the show starts now. Nice. So fine. And if you can't keep quiet then it's a hard game, man, because it's not like music, an open mic music show where you can kinda tune out, talk to your buddies.
Right.
You have to either shut up or pay attention.
Right.
So I understand the we're not going to go in and people sit outside and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But we always have a good crowd at Sly Bar now. Yeah. It's pretty consistent.
It's a fun place. I look forward to it now. It's like it's this small local competition that like, and I don't mean to put it down like that or anything like that. But I mean like it's something to look forward to. Like every couple of weeks, be like, okay, like I'm going to take what I think is the best newest stuff that I've got or some other bits, and I'm going to go up there and I'm going to see if I can actually win some money with this, you know? And comedy's weird like that, where it's like, you know, if there's a good rock and roll band, it doesn't matter what the night is, they're usually always good. Like, people are just happy to hear them play. Yep. But with comedy, not so much. Like, you could be Richard Pryor and still have a bad night and totally bomb.
Sure. Happens all the time. I see a bunch of good, great local guys that I love, and they eat it up there. One of the complaints I have from people that, because I kind of ask around, is a lot of people do the same bit every same 5 minutes, which I understand that you're trying to polish that 5 minutes into a crystal ball that is just going to kill everywhere you go. But the regulars that I have had have kind of dropped off because they're tired of the same things. Yeah. I understand. But it's nice. It's refreshing when I see comics come in with at least 3 minutes worth of new stuff.
Yeah.
And those are the people that actually work hard
and be
successful.
Because when you see, like what was it, last Sly Bar, it was like Cam came up, and I don't think he did any of his old jokes. Like, there might have been one
or
two in there.
He always has new stuff, usually.
But he's always dropping something new. And it is, that 5 minutes is such a weird thing, because everybody pounds it into your head that, like, you have to have this 5 minutes. And, like, I've got my 5 minutes, but now I hate it. You know what I mean? And I think there's a point that once you get past that, you can play with it, you know? And I'm trying to... What's been weird recently around, like, other mics and, like, doing other shows is a lot. Like, I've just been kind of let myself go and, like, okay, what am I going to kind of rant about? What am I, you know?
Something should bother... I mean, every week something should bother you.
Yeah.
That you're like, I gotta say something about this. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's why it's hard when I see people just doing the same stuff. It's like, nothing's... Yeah. Why aren't you more upset?
Right.
You should be... I guess it's just, like, their personalities, you know? Yeah. Because some of the comics are kind of that... You know, stoner, hey man, you know,
here's the deal, bro.
Like, you know, dogs, man, what's the deal with that?
Food on, fart on a popsicle. Like, it's the same.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm guilty of it. I do it all the time, dude. We're like, but it's getting to that point where, like, I used to be afraid to do anything different besides my 5 minutes. Now, I look forward to the chance to, you know, just go play. Like Amsterdam, when they had Bands Up Stand Up, like I love that room because there was usually some weird people that I could just talk to almost. Like I could just engage and like, you know, once you have that person like on board, because that's the thing. Like you take a look at me and like I'm a bald dude, beard, bigger, but not like in shape. Like, and it's kind of like, okay, what's this guy going to say? And like, if I don't like snag those people within the first couple of minutes, everything, it's just going to be this weird guy yelling on stage, you know? And it's crazy how quickly you can just turn a crowd or lose a crowd.
Sure.
It's bizarre, man. But I love it, dude. I couldn't see doing anything else right now. Like, I love – Kyle Roos is one of the people that told me – very funny guy. Look him up. Kyle Roos told me, he says, if you're not at a mic or on a stage – every night of the week, you're wasting your time. If you don't have a girlfriend or kids and you're not on stage every night, you might as well quit.
I hear him, and yes, that is true, I believe. But also, some people just like to go, and it's like slam poetry.
True.
But it's people that are funny that can do slam poetry.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who aren't going to make it that are hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely.
That just won't make it. And it's not because they didn't work hard. Never discount luck either.
True,
that's a big part of it.
I've gotten really lucky, I think, in mine. Like, I got set up with, like, a cool group of people, like, from the start. I got really lucky with the people that I kind of fell in around, you know?
Yes, but, I mean, there's going to be always those people who don't make it. But I feel like that it's nice to have open mic for a guy who is just very casual, and he may have kids, and he can't go on the road.
Absolutely.
And he just wants to complain about something in a funny way.
Absolutely.
You know, you're not wasting your time then. It's therapy, you know. You can just complain, get it out of your system.
Yeah.
I don't want to punch a punching bag for 15 minutes. I'd rather complain.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect place to do it as an open mic.
Absolutely. And I'm totally not against, like, that. Like, because for some people, I know they just need it. Like, it's there, like, honey, I'm going out, you know. Like, I'm all down for that. Like, I don't want to come off like an asshole. Like, people aren't doing it right. You know, I don't want to come off like that guy and be like, people aren't doing it right, you know. And, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy. It's just like, you know, if somebody's trying to be a comic, you know what I mean? Because I still don't. Like, people have called me a comic, but, like, I still consider myself an open micer. You know what I mean?
You're right. I mean, and within 9 months, I don't think that's fair, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're definitely working on it, and that's good. There's always a mic here now, which is good. I saw another mic that's opening down here at Queen's Head.
Nice.
Which is just down the road, and that's going to be on Wednesday nights.
Awesome.
So there's, I mean, a mic almost every night of the week the county now.
There's really no excuse.
And I continue to... while I hope it doesn't cut into Slybar's business, I'm also think it's great that we're having other mics. And speaking of mics, you have a mic.
Yeah, Monday night, the first and third Mondays of the month over at Vapor Road on Tyrone Boulevard at 8:30. We've got an open mic. We just started that up, so it's been going. We've had three so far. That have been really pretty good successes, and we're hoping to keep building. It's a fun room, man. You were there. What did you think of it?
I loved it. The crowd was terrific.
Yeah.
It's like somebody's house.
Yeah.
And it was just everybody was so receptive and seemed to be having a great time. I couldn't recommend it more. I think I'll be back at the next one next week for sure.
Thank you. So,
we got to wrap up already, man. So you don't have – I know.
If you want,
we can do a uncensored version.
Really?
If you're down for that.
I'd be down for it.
But you don't have any social media or anything at all.
I really, other than Facebook, I'm about to start a Twitter account, and that's been the one thing I really got to get back on. Just, you can find me at Alan Canning or CanningAlan at Facebook.com. Come check me out. I usually post a lot of my videos. Also, you can find me at Bula or KavaComedy.com. You can find all my stuff with a lot of great local comics in the area. So check it out.
Very good. Alan Canning, man. I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, man.
Go smoke a cigarette, and then maybe record I don't smoke pot anymore.
Good
just want to make that clear, and I'm not just doing that for radio. I really do not anymore.
Congratulations.
Everyone always assumes that I do.
Started doing cocaine again.
Good for you. All right, Alan, thank you very much. Follow the Homemade Broadcast, home_made_man on Twitter and Instagram. Check out HMB Radio. Go listen to James Bailey's new podcast, my mom's favorite podcast. Great title. Talk to you all next week. Have a good one. Thank you, Slybar. Thank you, Angelos. See ya.
Later.